Good afternoon. This is the professor, Dr. Ron Daniels, president of the Institute of the Black World 21st Century and distinguished lecturer emeritus from York College, Central University of New York. I welcome you to this special Labor Day edition of Vantage Point. This is on the 6th or the 7th? Anyway, it's Labor Day. Here on 99.5 FM, that's WBAI, in collaboration with ycradio.org. That's right, the York College Radio Network is tuned in to us here on the Pacifica Network as well. Well, today our special program will be dedicated really to the memory of A. Philip Randolph. That's going to be our major topic. And you're going to hear his speech on the March on Washington, and I'll do some commentary, and then we're going to have you throw the phones open and hope there are people out there listening. We're calling at a time when people may be doing their barbecuing, going, getting ready to go over for dinner, whatever. So, but there's somebody out there listening to WBAI, and we want to engage you on this Labor Day, a very special day. Before I get into the meat of the program, however, I just want to acknowledge the destruction in this region of Tropical Storm Ida. By the time it got here, it was almost still a hurricane. It just wreaked havoc all over the region. Injuries to people, loss of life, property damage, unbelievable. And so we just want to just express our sympathy and to those who've lost lives and well wishes to those who are trying to put their lives back together. Big shout out to the first responders, firefighters, police officers who were out there courageously pulling people out of vehicles and just doing all kind of things. There was a story about a bus driver who did a great job. This is one of the most unbelievable things that I've ever seen that we've experienced. We also just want to say neighbor to neighbor. I stress this whole idea of us taking care of each other in this COVID era. Well, this was on display in a magnificent way during the course of the storm, as neighbors were taking care of each other, human being to human being. It is important to note, however, that there was a disproportionate impact on Black and brown people, people of color. Unfortunately, again, like Katrina, all over that region, it's Black and brown and poor people who were disproportionately impacted. You know, there was a discussion about what's happening in Brooklyn and the outer boroughs and whatever, but Manhattan, you know, seems like it was, you know, they care of Manhattan a little bit more than they do in some of these other areas, and people were really very concerned about that. It's also important to talk about it from a public policy perspective because there is an urgent need for action. Elections engagement matters. There's an urgent need for action on infrastructure and climate change. These climate deniers out here, there are people out here who are killing us with this vaccination hesitancy and making it a political issue. And you may have other personal feelings around that, and you're entitled to that. But some people are just exploiting it for political gains, and it's not helpful. And then the denial about climate change. And this, the earth is dying, and it's killing us. We are dying with it. And there are people of a particular political persuasion, right-wing, radical, mostly Republicans, and not many Democrats in that category, no progressives, no liberals, no moderates. It matters. We got to stop these people before they kill us. I mean, we really do. That means we got to get engaged. So I just wanted to open the show on that. And at the end, we're going to have a call-in segment, which we're going to talk about A. Philip Randolph. But if you want to call in and just talk about your experiences with Ida, but also any thoughts about public policy change and what needs to happen here in the city of New York, we will certainly be open to that. Now I'd like to turn to a tribute to A. Philip Randolph. A. Philip Randolph was Black America's greatest labor leader and one of the most influential American labor leaders. Black labor leader, yes, but one of the most important labor leaders of all time in this country. I first became aware of A. Philip Randolph, frankly, in 1963 at the March on Washington. I was there and heard him speak. And that was my first awareness of this A. Philip Randolph. I also taught about A. Philip Randolph in courses at York College and Cornell, Kent, wherever I was at, Black Social and Political Thought, Pan-African Studies, and so forth. So I have some familiarity with this great man. And that's why I decided on this day, Labor Day, we should be honoring him. He was the founder of the International Brotherhood of Sleeping Car Porters back in the day, way back in the day. Trains began to take off. It was the porters who carried the luggage, carried the bags, but also in the sleeping car units, they were the ones who serviced them. This was considered to be beneath white folks at that stage. Now, later on, that changed because the tipping was pretty good. But A. Philip Randolph organized them. By the thousands, he organized them and created the International Association of Sleeping Car Porters. And it was the first independent black labor union. And from that vantage point, if you will, he began to advocate for black workers in general. He became, and they were a major force. He was independent, so they couldn't come at him. He was not an employee of the railroad union, which is why they selected him, the porters to be, selected A. Philip Randolph to be their leader. He was also co-editor of the influential socialist leaning magazine called The Messenger with a gentleman, a young activist scholar named Chandler Owen. He was influenced by the Russian Revolution, which took place in 1917, and that influenced a lot of people, began to have them look at communism, had to begin to look at socialism as an alternative to capitalism. And indeed, A. Philip Randolph was a socialist, and he opposed the United States intervention and engagement in World War I. He was based in Harlem, originally born in Florida, but he migrated to New York and to be a part of this incredibly creative and energetic Harlem Renaissance. All the great thinkers and great activists and organizers up in Harlem, the capital of Black America and to some degree the black world at that time. And he was inspired by W.E.B. Du Bois and became an ally of Du Bois. Some tensions with him and Marcus Garvey, and in fact Du Bois had tensions with Garvey as well, and that was unfortunate because I think they all should have been working together. I just take note of that. It was A. Philip Randolph, right? Everybody talks about the March on Washington in 1963. It was A. Philip Randolph who came up with the idea of a March on Washington. He threatened, as the United States was preparing to launch war, get involved in war in Germany and, of course, against Japan in World War II, he threatened a march on Washington unless black people would have an equal opportunity to have jobs in the defense industry. He was ready to bring thousands of people in a nonviolent demonstration to Washington, D.C. As a result of that, Franklin Delano Roosevelt issued an executive order creating the first Fair Employment and Practices Commission that opened up the government, the defense industry, and the federal government to equal opportunity employment for black folks. Huge development. It is not by accident that the initial black middle class was a federal government supported middle class, Washington, D.C., but it has agencies throughout the country. And many of the black people were able to work in post offices and have a decent wage as a result of that. Some people, you know, in a different area, I mean, they were PhDs working in the post office. They wish they could have worked somewhere else, but at least that was open to them. My mother, I recall in my book, Still on This Journey, the Vision Mission of Dr. Ron Daniels, I talk about her going to Washington, D.C. to work in a federal mint. That would not have been possible without the threat issued by A. Philip Randolph to march on Washington. And Franklin Delano Roosevelt conceded. He also influenced Harry Truman to sign the Selective Services Act of 1947. Truman, in 48, was going to be in a very tight election. Black folks increasingly registered to vote. Eventually, they will shift decisively to the Democratic Party by 1960, having been Republicans for many, many years. So Truman, he was anxious to get that black vote. So he, in fact, he signed the Selective Services Act of 1947, which outlawed segregation in the armed forces. Because A. Philip Randolph was someone who believed in nonviolent resistance through protests and civil disobedience and had threatened to march on Washington, younger leaders like Martin Luther King and others turned to A. Philip Randolph for the March on Washington. And they asked him to be chairman of the March on Washington in 1963. And of course, we know what that meant. Over 250,000 people there. It was the largest march of its kind up to that point. It had a pivotal impact in terms of the passage of the Civil Rights Act of 1964. It was an incredible event. And again, as I was there, I recall again A. Philip Randolph's speech on that day, because it was there that he called for, and I remember that resonant voice. He said, "We have come today to launch a great social revolution," he said. And that resonance in that voice, I remember that. I was a young kid, maybe 13, 14 years old at that time. In 1960, he founded the Negro American Labor Council to organize black workers across union lines. In other words, whatever union you belong in, he said you should be pushing for the advancement of black workers into leadership positions and fair treatment in all of those unions. And that was the Negro American Labor Council, NALC, which became the precursor to the formidable Coalition of Black Trade Unionists, which was, of course, headed for many, many years by Bill Lucy, whom I consider to be the greatest contemporary black labor leader of our era, CBTU founder Bill Lucy. In 1968, Lyndon Baines Johnson presented A. Philip Randolph with the Presidential Medal of Freedom. He also, as I said before, became chair of the organization that still exists, the A. Philip Randolph Institute. He passed on May 16, 1979, at the age of 90. And I heard him speak at the March on Washington. But as a young student at State University of New York, what was then called the Institute of Public Affairs graduate program, is now called, I forget it's now, it has a new name now, it has a more sophisticated name now, but it was then called the Institute for Public Affairs. As I was working on my master's thesis now on Black Power, I was connected with Queen Mother Moore. And Queen Mother Moore became my mentor. And when they were trying to expel Adam Clayton Powell from Congress, she was fighting, helping to fight that campaign. And I was driving her back and forth to Washington. And on one occasion, she took me to Harlem, and she took me to meet A. Philip Randolph and to have a conversation. I wasn't in the conversation. She met with him, but I remember him. He was actually lying down in the bed. He rose up, and he had a conversation with him. So I actually got that close to this legendary A. Philip Randolph, in addition to having been there in 1963 for the March on Washington. So today we give tribute to A. Philip Randolph, and we want you to call in once we get to audience participation portion of the program. So you should get your number right now, 212-209-2877. To give any reflections that you have, number one, on A. Philip Randolph. Some of you may have been a part of CBTU. You may have just have reflections on having worked with him. What is the status of black labor today? And indeed, what is the status of black labor in general? And then any reactions, we do want the phones to be open for any reactions that you have to the impact of the losses around the tropical storm Ida, as well as what you think ought to be done in terms of political action and policy will be welcome. But before we do that, I want to have an audio insert. I was there to hear this speech. We want you to hear it now. Let me just say, everybody hears I Have a Dream, but nobody ever hears all the other speeches. There was a lot of great speeches that day. And one of them was a speech by A. Philip Randolph. So we now ask that we hear the speech of A. Philip Randolph, 1963, at the March on Washington.
Fellow Americans, we are gathered here in the largest demonstration in the history of this nation. Let the nation and the world know the meaning of our numbers. We are not a pressure group. We are not an organization or a group of organizations. We are not a mob. We are the advance guard of a massive moral revolution for jobs and freedom. This revolution reverberates throughout the land, touching every city, every town, every village where black men are segregated, oppressed, and exploited. But this civil rights revolution is not confined to the Negro, nor is it confined to civil rights. For our white allies know that they cannot be free, while we are not. And we know that we have no future in a society in which 6 million black and white people are unemployed and millions more living poverty. Nor is the goal of our civil rights revolution merely the passage of civil rights legislation. Yes, we want all public accommodations open to all citizens, but those accommodations will mean little to those who cannot afford to use them. Yes, we want a Fair Employment Practice Act, but what good will it do if profit-geared automation destroys the jobs of millions of workers, black and white? We want integrated public schools, but that means we also want federal aid to education, all forms of education. We want a free democratic society dedicated to the political, economic, and social advancement of man along moral lines. Now, we know that real freedom will require many changes in the nation's political and social philosophies and institutions. For one thing, we must destroy the notion that Mrs. Murphy's property rights include the right to humiliate me because of the color of my skin. The sanctity of private property takes second place to the sanctity of the human personality. It falls to the Negro to reassert this proper priority of values because our ancestors were transformed from human personalities into private property. It falls to us to demand new forms of social planning to create full employment and to put automation at the service of human needs, not at the service of profits. We are the worst victims of unemployment. Negroes are in the forefront of today's movement for social and racial justice because we know they cannot expect the realization of their aspirations, our aspirations, through the same old anti-democratic social institutions and philosophies that have all along frustrated our aspirations. And so we have taken our struggle into the streets. As the labor movement took its struggle into the streets, as Jesus Christ led the multitude through the streets of Judea, the plain and simple fact is that until we went into the streets, the federal government was indifferent to our demands. It was not until the streets and jails of Birmingham were filled that Congress began to think about civil rights legislation. It was not until thousands demonstrated in the South that lunch counters and other public accommodations were integrated. It was not until the Freedom Riders were brutalized in Alabama that the 1946 Supreme Court decision banning discrimination in interstate travel was enforced. And it was not until construction sites were picketed in the North that Negro workers were hired. Those who deplore our militants who exhort patience in the name of a false peace are in fact supporting segregation and exploitation. They would have social peace at the expense of social and racial justice. They are more concerned with easing racial tension than enforcing racial democracy. The months and years ahead will bring new evidence of masses in motion for freedom. The March on Washington is not the climax of our struggle, but a new beginning, not only for the Negro, but for all Americans who thirst for freedom and a better life. Look for the enemies of Medicare, of higher minimum wages, of Social Security, of federal aid to education. And there you will find the enemy of the Negro, the coalition of Dixocrats and reactionary Republicans that seek to dominate the Congress. We must develop strength in order that we may be able to back and support the civil rights program of President Kennedy. In the struggle against these forces, all of us should be prepared to take to the streets the spirit and techniques that built the labor movement, founded churches, and now guide the civil rights revolution. Must be a massive crusade, must be launched against the unholy coalition of Dixocrats and the racists that seek to strangle Congress. We here today are under the first wave. When we leave, it will be to carry on the civil rights revolution home with us into every nook and cranny of the land. And we shall return again and again to Washington in ever growing numbers until total freedom is ours.
All right, that was the voice of A. Philip Randolph. What a powerful speech he delivered on that day. I said social revolution. He said civil rights revolution, if you will. And it's interesting because just on August 28th, you know, thousands converged on Washington again, multiple marches still pressing the case. He alluded to the alliance with the Dixocrats. He was also talking in some ways about the filibuster that is still kind of gumming up the works, if you will. He said, we will come again and again and again to apply the street heat, if you will, apply the mass organizing necessary in order to effect change. And so to our listening audience, this is an opportunity for you to call in with reflections on A. Philip Randolph on this Labor Day. Again, a very, very, very special day, if you will. And I thought it would be good to just, you know, March on Washington, Martin Luther King, yeah, great speech. He was the, unquestionably made the great speech of our, one of the great speeches of all time. But there were a lot of great speeches made on that day. A. Philip Randolph was one of them. And it's important to note, people think that Martin Luther King did everything. He did a lot of stuff. But the concept of the March on Washington was A. Philip Randolph, one of the greatest labor leaders, American labor leaders, period, and certainly the greatest black labor leader ever. 212-209-2877. 212-209-2877 will get you into the conversation today on Labor Day. What is the status of black labor? You may be a part of a union. Unions are under assault in general. So therefore, what is the status of labor in general? What do we need to do? Why do we have a Labor Day anyway? Why do we have labor unions anyway? And what role do they play? And what role should they play in terms of our moving forward? And any thoughts that you have on A. Philip Randolph, any tribute that you would like to make is certainly welcome at this time. 212-209-2877. Lines are wide open. I don't want to end up having to do commentary for the whole show because I know everybody's not picnicking. Everybody's not out there burning. There's some people who are listening in and who have ideas, and you have an opportunity to call in right now at 212-209-2877. Also, just want to say if you have observations you'd like to make about the tragedy, the devastation of Ida, and what ought to be done or what may have been done differently and how we need to proceed and the challenges of infrastructure and climate change. I mean, right now, I had the privilege of being on once a month. I'm the guest, a special guest host for Open Line on W on 107 FM with Fatoon Muhammad and Sister Jennifer Austin Jones Austin. And Congressman Gregory Meeks, in fact, was on yesterday as well. And we were talking about these issues, how important it is to get these bills out of Congress that are also being stalled. The reconciliation bill that will have lots of what some people don't consider infrastructure, but it is. It's education, it's housing, it's broad, more broadband than is in the so-called bipartisan bill. Both bills are urgently needed. And so this is real stuff, real time. Fires blowing up all in the western part of the country. I mean, it's just unbelievable what is happening, and we had better be prepared for it. And that means we may be marching, we may be doing civil disobedience, we may be organizing and should be organizing in order to make sure that life, that we save ourselves. You know, we save the planet, and saving the planet, we save ourselves, and we save future generations. 212-209-2877. 212-209-2877. Again, a tribute today to A. Philip Randolph. I hope everybody heard his magnificent words. I have talked about the fact that as a young NAACP organizer, I was privileged to be at the March on Washington, and later on got an opportunity to actually just be in the presence of A. Philip Randolph with Queen Mother Moore, who was my mentor. Beyond that, the Negro American Labor Council, working in Youngstown, Ohio, I recall Jimmy Davis. He was a part of the Negro American Labor Council. And they talked about A. Philip Randolph and what an inspiration he was. I mean, A. Philip Randolph, I mean, he believed in, he was like Frederick Douglass. Power can seize nothing without a demand. You won't get no free lunch, he said. You have to take it. You have to go get it. Nobody's going to give it up to you without a struggle, if you will. That was the spirit of A. Philip Randolph. And again, a calling for the March on Washington, the first one prior to World War II, getting the first Fair Employment Practices Commission in place, opened up huge opportunities for black people to work with the federal government. We owe him a great deal. And that's why we had this tribute today. And hopefully there are others who will call in and give your opinions and views. 212-209-2877. 212-209-2877. This is Labor Day, you know, and it's good to have fun and whatnot. I had my family cookout yesterday. I always do it, you know, the day before so people can have their own individual family things and travel and whatnot. So I was chef, a professor yesterday, and, you know, doing the potato salad and the chicken and the everything. You know, it was huge, a lot of fun with my family. But we also took time out to think about labor, black labor, labor in general. And what does this mean? Because these holidays are important, but we should also have moments of reflection. And it's a good thing to do here on WBAI. I was listening earlier to the program talking about the Black Panther Party, hearing H.R.A.P. Brown talk. I mean, we can take time on these holidays for these kinds of reflections. 212-209-2877. Let's go immediately to our listening audience. Good afternoon. Happy Labor Day. Happy A. Philip Randolph Day, whatever you want to call it. Welcome to Vantage Point. Good afternoon. You're on the air.
Am I on now?
Yeah, you're on the air. Yes, you are.
Okay, great. My name's Francisco. I want to say that speech was very stirring, and it reminds me so much of great speeches. We're going to be involved with an Actors Guild in saying the poem On the Pulse of the Morning by Maya Angelou next week in commemoration of some work we're doing on diversity, equity, and inclusion at the Episcopal Actors Guild. And about labor, I think, because I'm a small business person and also in the arts, I think it's not only about labor, like in factories or in offices or on farms. It's also, very importantly, all of our freelancers, writers and actors and everyone in the arts, artists and stuff. Important thing, the more that we involve people of color, the more important that is, and the more that we will see how that will translate into an abundance for all of us. So I highly recommend anyone, because I've been doing that in the last couple of years, more reaching out more to people of color to be involved in my own project, and it's had a very positive effect on my own life, and I know it's affected the lives of those people too. So my main point was, it's not about just traditional jobs, labor. It's also the 50 or 60% of the population that's employed by small businesses or freelancers. So anyway, that was my main point. Thank you very much, and I look forward to your program. You have an excellent program.
All right. Thank you so much. Really, really, really appreciate it. Others can call at 212-209-2877. 212-209-2877. Again, we are saluting A. Philip Randolph. I called him the greatest black labor leader of all time, if you will, the greatest ever. But also, he was one of America's greatest labor leaders, therefore was presented with the Presidential Medal of Freedom, I think it said in 1968, by Lyndon Baines Johnson, LBJ. And of course, he was the chairman of the March on Washington. But we reminded people that the idea of the March on Washington did not emanate from the minds of Roy Wilkins or Whitney Young or James Farmer or John Lewis or even Martin Luther King. It emanated from the brain and the vision of A. Philip Randolph. 212-209-2877. Let's go back to our listening audience. Good afternoon. You're on Vantage Point.
Good afternoon. My name is Mrs. Nelson, and I'm calling from Floral Park. I'm calling to thank you for acknowledging A. Philip Randolph. I don't think he receives enough accolades, and I think we need a new A. Philip Randolph to unite us. The problem that we have today in our community is that we're so splintered, and he was able to unite us together. You just mentioned men who had different organizations who were all brought together under this umbrella of the March on Washington. And I think this is so important for us today. And how this is going to happen again, I have no idea, but I pray that it will. I pray that our people will rise and rise and rise. Thank you.
Oh, thank you so much, and appreciate you calling to share that sentiment. Others can call it 212-209-2877. Again, we are dedicating the program today to the memory of A. Philip Randolph. We had a Labor Day show, and I was kind of thinking about what could I do? What can I put together for Labor Day? And it just dawned on me, you know, and what she says is true. There are so many black women and men who are terribly underappreciated, who have made extraordinary contributions. There's a way in which the media and even we will focus on a few leaders, while there are many, many, many other leaders who have contributed so much to our history. And A. Philip Randolph is one of them. I mean, incredible. As I said before, he organized the International Brotherhood of Sleeping Car Porters, if you will. You know, that was important, powerful work. I kind of vaguely remember, you know, in the 40s, you know, being on trains and so forth. But these were thousands upon thousands of black workers who worked on the railroads, but because they was considered to be subservient jobs, frankly. A lot of those jobs were until these people started really realizing how good the tips were. And all of a sudden, you know, white folks wanted them jobs too, which is fine. But A. Philip Randolph, and he, from that vantage point, really began to organize workers and use that leverage to demand change for black workers. But he also was broader than that because he was a socialist. So he also believed, he understood the whole notion of black and white unite and fight. And today he would be in a rainbow mode as well in terms of organizing workers to bring about change. Let's go back to our listening audience. Good afternoon. You're on Vantage Point. Good afternoon. You're on the air.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Yeah, my name is Rob. Yeah, you know, everything you guys are doing with protesting everything is a wonderful thing. We definitely need that, especially in this time and age. And a lot of people are going to be losing their unemployment now. And we need Biden to pass this bill, Build Back Better, to get more people jobs. Everything is really difficult. As you know, what's happening right now. Nothing I can say about that, but we need everybody to go out and vote and stand up for their rights. That's what I'm saying.
All right. Okay. We appreciate so much your call. Yeah, the struggle continues. That's for sure. It's not over at all. There is, like, unemployment benefits are about to expire. It does. Elections do matter. It matters who's in office. Yeah. I mean, and we've just gone through this period here now. It's just rough, difficult period. You got COVID. People are leery about going back to work, particularly in the face of this Delta variant. So we're in difficult times, but we have to hang together. We have to work together, human being to human being, in order to get through it. Again, 212-209-2877. A. Philip Randolph, which we're giving a tribute to him today, but also talking about the status of black labor, the status of labor in general, but also welcoming any calls that people might have in relationship to Ida, not only in terms of the devastating loss, which was devastating, the number of people who were killed, and the way, and I mean, just in these apartments, where, why in New York City are people forced to live in these kind of apartments? Why do we have so many homeless people? I mean, come on. I mean, it's just, and then the, how, you know, the other thing I was mentioning is, you know, there's some people who haven't even gotten their checks from Sandy yet. You know, once these things go away, the government, the machinery moves like slow. It doesn't just, you know, and it's people suffer and they suffer and they suffer. And we got to find a way to get past that. And a part of that is us becoming more engaged and making sure we can expedite things to make sure that poor people and people and working people and even middle class people do not suffer. I mean, the wealthy are not suffering. They find ways to, you know, to expedite. They've got things at their disposal. Though I must say that these storms are equal opportunity killers. They will not recognize you as the president of some damn corporation, you know, if you're driving down the street. And this is what makes it so terrible. We got people who just, these climate deniers. I mean, you're just driving down the Van Wyck, or you're driving down the Grand Central somewhere, and all of a sudden, 6 feet of water rushes up on you. I mean, this is just frightening. Let me just quit. Let me go back to our listening audience. Good afternoon. You're on Vantage Point.
Mr. Daniel, how you doing, man?
I'm doing fine. How are you doing on this Labor Day? This, as we give a tribute to A. Philip Randolph or the other topics that we're talking about. What's on your mind?
I'm pretty good, man. Yeah, a lot of people don't understand, man. There's a YouTube video of a New York City bus driver, a black man, and he talks about the ugly racism between Spanish people and black people in the inner city, you know, where we're like the progressives amongst ourselves. But aside from that, he says that if it wasn't for people like A. Philip Randolph and MLK, he wouldn't be able to drive the bus. Because you have to understand something. Back in the 60s and 50s, there was no black bus drivers, no train operators of color. They were all dominated by white people. So that's what I want. Because the New York City Transit Authority is the largest transit agency in the whole nation.
Right.
And,
you make a very important point that sometimes we fail to remember in our communities. We are in jobs that were not open to us before there was struggle. It's like Frederick Douglass said, no struggle, no progress. And so when other people are struggling, we should unite with them in their struggle, even if it doesn't affect us directly, because that's how progress gets made. You know, I pointed out the fact that when A. Philip Randolph, he forced the Fair Employment Practices Commission, you know, my mother, I remember her talking about going to the federal mint. But when I was younger, I didn't know what that meant. But later on, I knew that she was able to do that because A. Philip Randolph had stood strong, threatening the March on Washington. And so many of us are in jobs today that we would not have ever been in except for marches, protests, demonstrations, action. And so we've got to get engaged. We've got to stay engaged. We need a culture of participation and engagement in order to move things forward. So I appreciate your appreciation of A. Philip Randolph and those contributions. And we need more people like you who are projecting it and teaching it and whatnot. So thanks for listening in. Appreciate it. All right, let's go to our next caller. Good afternoon. You're on Vantage Point.
Hi, good afternoon. Always nice to hear you, Professor. I just want to take issue with a couple of things in honoring A. Philip Randolph, too, who's close to my heart, is that progressive-minded people aren't really characterized as ones that are questioning what's happening with how they're leading us to these vaccination lines. I think it's incumbent upon us to absolutely question this type of authority that has oppressed us over the years, oppressed many people. Now we come to them because they know they got us in a corner in a box. How dare they exploit us like that? And that's where we need to stand up, be strong, be informed, and really, you know, try to decipher through the noise that's out there. I'm not talking about, you know, climate deniers. I'm talking about reasonably minded people who really, really have issue, and there's a lot of data and doctors, hardcore doctors all over the country and the world that are putting up red flags saying, wait a minute, there are other ways of dealing with this problem right now that are not being...
Well, which problems are you talking about? With climate change? Because with climate change, it's overwhelmingly, you know, there may be some minuscule number of people who have some doubts about it. But let me just say this. Let me just make this point. Even if you had doubts, I would err on the side of caution on things that mean that you could destroy the entire planet, if you will, right? And so that's a different thing. That's the way I feel about nuclear power, for example. I mean, if you mess up nuclear power, I mean, you have an accident, it could kill everybody. So I would rather keep that genie in the bottle, frankly. That's my own opinion on that. But on climate change, we're talking about the whole world being threatened. And so even if I said, maybe it's not the case, I can't risk that. Let's go ahead and let's invest in the kind of investments that are necessary to stop the pollution, stop the warming, stop all of that kind of stuff, because at the end of the day, it will save the planet, I think, and I'd rather not risk it. Now, on the vaccination question, that's a little bit different in terms of that debate. However, I would say that, you know, I mean, vaccinations are not new. I mean, you know, polio got wiped out because people were vaccinated, and people take flu shots every year, and kids get measles, whooping cough, so forth and so on. We're in a situation where if I had my way, those who don't believe in it would be fine. If we could have them go live on a planet or somewhere by themselves where it doesn't affect me or affect others, that would be fine. But we also live in a community where what I do, my failure to wear a mask or my unwillingness to get, could affect you and my children and so forth. So that's what makes it, I think, a little bit different. But I think people should think it through. They ought to debate it. They ought to discuss it. And there's just so many credible people, at least in the black community and other communities, who are coming out here that you can rely on. And that's how you kind of make decisions, as opposed to looking at the minority who's out there. And by the way, we got radio talk show hosts, particularly who politicized this, who are screaming they wouldn't take it. And some of them are dead. And you've seen people from their dying beds saying, I wish I had done it, and so forth. So it's difficult. It's complex. And I don't want to demonize anybody for it. But I'm urging people, let's try to get back to normal life. I mean, who wants to continue to go on and on and on and on with these masks and so forth? But I will wear a mask to protect you. I will social distance to protect you. I will take a vaccination to protect you. Not just me. I will protect you, my friend. And that's the way I look at it. All right, let's move on to a next caller, 212-209-2877, 212-209-2877. By the way, we got some open lines if people want to call in. Tribute to A. Philip Randolph. He had some good comments about labor, the status of labor, the importance of labor, but also the whole issue of IDA and what it has meant and means, a whole question of climate change, the whole need for policy that deals with global warming and all these issues. The Green New Deal that AOC is talking about, you know, that will transform and still give and build new jobs and all that. And how do we protect ourselves? I mean, this is not going to stop now. It's not going to stop. We got to do the investments to protect ourselves. 212-209-2877. Good afternoon. You're on Vantage Point.
Greetings. This is Verona, Professor. I wanted to say a few things first regarding the matter of labor. We see now in going to a lot of stores and shops and so on and so forth that now a lot of things are automated. They don't need the cashiers, so we can just go to an automated kiosk. What are we going to be teaching our students in school? What kind of labor are we getting them ready for? So we need to look at that in terms of education, or is there going to be an absence of labor now taken over by artificial intelligence. They have artificial intelligence to be home health aide, to be caretakers, so on and so forth. So the issue of work or the absence of work is something that we definitely need to study. And regarding the environment, it's corporations that I think have a greater impact on the environment. We as consumers can demand corporations play a major role, more of a role in terms of what kind of products we buy, what kind of packaging the product comes in, how much energy does it take to make a product, and then we use it for maybe a month or two, and then how much energy does it take to destroy it. You know, so the stewardship of the planet in terms of air, water, and land has to be looked at in so many different ways. So if we go to self-driving cars, what is the power source for a self-driving car? Is it coal? If we use look at the hybrid car, part gas, fossil fuel, and then part electricity. We have a sun that's 93 million miles away, but I have to pay an electric bill every month. You know, that doesn't make any kind of logical scientific sense to me. So all of those things have to be examined more deeply than a news media saying that planetary destruction. The planet is going to be here as it has been for billions of years. It's the people on it as that's going to be destroyed.
Right.
So thank you
right.
for allowing me to say that.
Right. And you've said it very, very well. And by the way, you may recall, and it's interesting as a social philosopher of sorts, I a long time ago began to think about the fact that work may disappear. I mean, work as we know it, it's certainly being transformed. It may disappear. Then on what basis do things get done? Then it's like, I guess, Martin Luther King's idea of universal Bill of Rights to talk about, you know, food, clothing, and shelter is guaranteed. And then there's some other basis by which there may be some relative inequalities, certainly not extreme ones. But I would call your attention to the fact that A. Philip Randolph, in his speech, talks about automation. This is way back in 1963. He's already talking about the issue of automation. And our caller, I thought, was very on point in looking at, you know, all the nuances and subtleties that we need to be addressing. She said the planet won't be destroyed. Actually, it'll still be here. It'll be destroyed as we know it in some ways, but it'll still be here. It's human life that will not be able to live on it, that we won't be able to be here. And then perhaps even animal life may also be wiped out. But I will say in the short term, the Green New Deal, the emphasis on solar, wind, thermal, all of these will create, at least for a period of time, millions and millions of good paying jobs. But the point that she made is about artificial intelligence and where automation and cybernation is going. All of these are very, very important points. Let's go back to our listening audience here on Labor Day as we give tributes to A. Philip Randolph, talk about status of labor, black labor, labor in general, but also these issues related to Ida that just hit us so hard just recently. Let's go back to our listening audience. Good afternoon. You're on Vantage Point.
Good afternoon. I'd like to thank you for highlighting A. Philip Randolph. And I also would like to piggyback on what the gentleman said about the environment. As far as the environment, everybody contributes to the demise of the environment. Something simple as throwing trash in the street, which goes down the drain, which goes into the sewer, which goes into the ocean. The next thing I would like to piggyback on is a statement about the vaccine. There are people who take the vaccine because I have people in the health field, and I've worked in hospitals myself who've taken the vaccine and have also died. So some people are saying if you don't take the vaccine, you're going to die. And then there are people who have died from taking it and from not taking it. Also, worrying about other people's health is a prime directive. But there are people who walk around and affect our health every day. They smoke cigarettes. They do all types of things. And you're breathing in that secondhand smoke, getting cancer of the lungs. And children are being affected by high asthma rates. And I'd like to know your opinion on what I've said.
Yeah, but on that, let's take your latter point first. That's why there was a major campaign against secondhand smoke. That's why you cannot smoke in certain areas now. First of all, it was direct smoke, and then people appreciated secondhand smoke. That's why those areas were taken. If you want to harm yourself, fine, even though a heavy taxation has been put on cigarettes and, you know, in mm-hmm. order to discourage that behavior and whatnot. And the other thing is, quite frankly, the data, I mean, you know, credible people, including black people that I listen to in terms mm-hmm. of these vaccines that have been taken. Yeah, there are some people who die, but the right. people who are dying mostly overwhelmingly now are not vaccinated. What these vaccines do, they are very good. Now, you may have these breakthrough cases where you mm-hmm. can get reinfected again. But what the reinfections, mild cases, mm-hmm. fewer hospitalizations, if any, and almost zero deaths from people who are vaccinated. That is universally being said across the board. This is a pandemic, as was said, and I agree with that term, of unvaccinated people primarily. Mm-hmm. And we're trying to persuade those persons to mask up, vax up, because yeah. we can all protect each other. But it's not easy. It's a difficult decision. But if you mm-hmm. look at the data, and it's data driven, then there are certain conclusions that you arrive at help you to make decisions that can be helpful to all of us. Look, thanks so much. I really, really appreciate your call. I'm going to at least get one more call there, but really appreciate the thoughtful way in which you've outlined your position. Thank you much. Really appreciate it. Good afternoon. Your vantage point.
Good afternoon, Dr. Daniels. My name is Vincent. I'm calling you from Plainfield, New Jersey. And I want to comment on a couple of things. One, I appreciate the information that you gave about A. Philip Randolph. I know some things about him, of course, and not as much as I should know. However, you know, I do appreciate, you know, his contribution. I know that his contribution was great in many ways and, of course, have influenced a lot of people who have been given probably more than their share of the credit. However, when it comes to the other issues that were raised today, in fact, I was listening to the radio and I thought not to give my 2 cents, but I will. The last caller, the young lady last spoke about, you know, her position on the vaccines, made some very good points. And I think about 3 callers earlier, a young man was on the phone, and he also gave his views. I don't know where he went with it, because I didn't hear it all, because there was some background noise where I am. However, I will say that in terms of the position that, in this case, you may take a certain position about the vaccines and someone else may take another. I think it's a bad position to be in to proclaim that people, and I'm not saying that you're saying this today, say that those who don't take the vaccine, don't choose to take the vaccine, they're either stupid or selfish.
I wouldn't say that. I've never said that. I've never said that people are stupid. I would not denigrate that.
Right. Some people have actually said that. And that's a grave error, great mistake to make.
The mistake I've made, I'm out of time. So I don't have any more time. So that music in the background. But we'll continue these discussions almost every week. We'll have a call-in segment in which we talk about the vaccination and other issues. But I would never call anybody stupid or at least, and if I would, I would apologize. Some people just get, it just makes them difficult. Anyway, we tribute to A. Philip Randolph. This is Labor Day. Appreciate you listening here on WBAI on Labor Day, 99.5 FM. This is The Professor. We'll see you again next week here on Vantage Point. Time is truly wasted.